Lord, we give you thanks and praise as we celebrate this Feast of the Transfiguration. And it's a reminder to us of your faithfulness, that you are waiting always through your grace to transfigure us and to help us through the challenging experience we have in life. So help us to trust in you and to take that time away with you to experience all the ways you want to fortify our hearts and strengthen us in our inner selves to know the heights, the breadth, the length, and depths of your love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So I was away last Saturday. You know, I had a celebration of life for my dad. He didn't want a funeral. He didn't like funerals because he just thought it made people sad. But he didn't say anything about a celebration of life, so his sneaky son planned that for him. And I didn't really start creating the slideshow that we had. It ended up being about 15 minutes long until Saturday morning. They don't call me last minute Jim for nothing. I just get my most creative energies at the last minute when your back's against the wall. So I was scanning pictures and so forth, and then I told my sister-in-law and my brother, well, you know, I want some input on this so it's not just me and my opinion and, you know, for the direction this thing is going. So they said, well, you need to have a few less dead animals and more family pictures. My dad was an avid hunter and fisherman. So you know how at the end of movies they have that little thing that says, if you ever stay for the credits, I normally don't, but I've done it before, a few movies, and it says, no animals were harmed during the filming of this movie. I can't say that with my dad. There were plenty of animals harmed, but we ate them all, they tasted great, and he taught us to be a real, you know, respecter of nature, and we didn't waste anything. We ate the whole deer and the elk and whatever he shot and everything like that. But I thank you for your prayers, and that's just part of my own closure on his death and everything, and I feel like the Lord is helping me to move on. And you know, in all honesty, that conference I went to in Boston was like a transfiguration experience for me. And I really believe, and I'm sharing this with you because I want you to believe this too, that, you know, we all face difficult situations in life, and we're going to face some difficult situations as a parish. And I hope you're paying attention. I'm not sugarcoating anything. You know, next spring, we're going to have to make some decisions about the future of our parish and two other parishes that we're invited to join with and to be a parish family. And we want to be praying in the power of the Holy Spirit that the Lord will help guide and direct us in the future of whatever he has for us and to trust in his goodness and his love. And so while I was away in Boston 2 weeks ago at that School of the Holy Spirit, the Lord had some words for me and healing for me and kind of a hitting of the reset button, basically. And so as we celebrate the Transfiguration today, I just thought about that in context of our readings, and I want to share a little message with you. And the first is this: we need to trust in the goodness of the Lord. We need to trust in the goodness of the Lord, that he's a good God. And even if he allows us to go through experiences that we don't always understand intellectually, and sometimes we might have an initial reaction of, this isn't good, nothing good's going to come out of this, that if we trust in him, he leads us into understanding and spiritual maturity, and that all things work for our good for those who love God. Amen. So yesterday I was up in Enumclaw doing a funeral, and I don't remember the gentleman because I'd been away for 21 years, so... But I did, when I walked in the church, I remember the wife. I remember you. And as I was driving into town, I was playing a song by C.C. Winans, one of my favorite Christian artists, called The Goodness of God. And, you know, all my life you have been faithful. It just has all these wonderful lyrics and everything. And I thought, this is my first experience as a pastor. And I made lots of mistakes, you know, being a young priest, you know, green behind the ears and everything. But the people there were kind and good to me. And generally, with a few exceptions, you know, were helping me to shoulder those experiences and everything. And I was just overwhelmed. And then the mountain was out, of course, you know. Enumclaw sits at the foot of Mount Rainier. And it was just beautiful driving into town and everything. And I just thought about the goodness of God. And so I hope in your own life that the Transfiguration stands as a reminder that God wants to provide for you and your own challenges. And if you take the time to be away with him, he'll give you what you need to shoulder whatever's happening in your life right now. He's a good God. He's faithful. And we look to our Blessed Mother as a wonderful example of that. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She had a huge, quote-unquote, wrench thrown into her life when the angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, oh, you've been following your Jewish religion and you're going to wait till you're married. Well, guess what? We have a little surprise for you. You're going to be the Theotokos, the God-bearer, and you're going to bear a son and he will save his people from his sins. And it's like, that wasn't part of my plan. But what was her response? Did she complain and whine? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. So she stands forth for all of us as an example. And I wish I could say that I always do that. I don't. But I'm looking to her as an example. You know, help me when things are going different ways that I expected to trust in your goodness, that my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. So she's a wonderful example for all of us to imitate. Secondly, you know, I went on this conference to Boston, and at first I thought somebody invited me to go, and I thought, I don't want to go there. I've never been to Boston. It's hot and humid. They probably don't have air conditioning. But I went, and I was just immensely blessed. So the second point is, are we taking time away to join the Lord for what he has for us? You know, we get so busy in our lives with social media and our lives, and we can just kind of get into a routine. And maybe like Peter, James, and John, he wants to take you away for a retreat or just get out of your house and go some one of your favorite places in nature and pray. And maybe he has something for you to edify you and encourage you. But we get so busy and just stuck in our routines that oftentimes we don't go with him to receive what he has for us, right? And so we need to make sure that we're taking time to take care of ourselves spiritually. And I remember hearing confessions at Kennedy Catholic a few years ago, and one person came in and said, you know, I don't ever hear from God. So my first thought was, well, how much time do you create? How much space do you create in your life to hear from God? And then as I asked the person some questions, it's like, not very much. Well, then stop complaining. You're so busy, engaged with on the horizontal level that you never take time away to say, okay, Lord, do you have something for me? And just having quiet time, be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46. Do you ever do that? No, I'm just too busy. Well, then stop complaining that you never hear from God, because he has things for you. But if you don't take the time to honor your relationship with him and pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to receive what he has for you, right? I try to do it gently. I hope it doesn't sound too violent the way I'm describing it right now. But take that time away to be with him. He's going to take care of us. He's a good God. And yes, there are going to be many twists and turns in the future, but he has our back, okay? He's faithful and a good God. So take time away to join him for whatever he has for you. And then once you experience that, and Peter and I was obedient, he said, you know, the Lord told us not to reveal what happened on Mount Tabor until after he resurrected from the dead. And they didn't understand that, but Peter was obedient and said in that second reading that we waited until, you know, he rose from the dead to tell you that we experienced this on Mount Tabor. I was just there like 3 months ago, 2 months ago, when I went to the Holy Land. It's amazing to think about that. And before we got there, actually some people blocked the entrance. There's a lot of radical things happening where Christians are really being sidelined and persecuted. And so before we got there, they said, you know, we weren't sure we're going to be able to let you guys come up to Mount Tabor because some radical people blocked the entrance and protesting and didn't want Christians to go up there and celebrate what God did with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah there with the three disciples or the three apostles. So when you experience God's transfiguration in your own life, share that with other people to encourage them. Because many people are down right now and out, and they're lacking hope. And so when we get something from the Lord, he gives it to us so that we can share with somebody else to encourage them. Amen? So you have to encourage other people. And I tell you, you know, the videos are online now from the conference in Boston. And I went back and watched the one where this Protestant pastor said, hey, where's that father from Seattle? I'm like, oh, I'm the only father from Seattle, the priest here in this conference. I was sitting in the back of the auditorium like a good Catholic. No one sits up front, right? Look at all the empty spaces here. I bathed today. What's wrong with you guys? I took a shower. I don't smell. I don't generally spit when I talk. But he goes, come forward. I'm like, uh-oh. But he had some very encouraging words to share with me about revival in the Archdiocese of Seattle. And then he made that horrifying comment, there's a price for this. I'm like, oh, I didn't want to hear that. There's always a cost to Pentecost. Amen. There's always a cost to Pentecost. But I was excited, and I'm just trying to take that in now and pray over it. I had a little transfiguration experience during that week, and what does this mean for me and my future as a priest in this parish, in this diocese, and so forth? And who knows what it's going to look like next summer? None of us know. But I know the goodness of God. Amen? And you know the goodness of God. So trust in the goodness of God. Take time away to join him for whatever he has for you. Don't say, oh, he never speaks to me. Well, how much time are you making in your daily life to hear from him? Reading the Word of God, you know, taking that time. And then when you get something, share it with someone else to encourage them. Because people are pretty down and out right now and worried and anxious about our future as a country, as a church, and as a world. And we have good news to share with them, don't we? Really? Let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for helping us to be messengers of the good news. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, Isaiah 61. He has anointed us to bring glad tidings to those around us who are experiencing oppression, lack of sight, lack of hearing, and that you want to begin doing some marvelous work of renewal in your church. So we just pray you open our hearts to whatever you have for us, to trust in your goodness, to take the time away with you, and to be prophets of the Lord, to be a mouthpiece that God has not abandoned us. He loves us. He's still very much with us and wants to renew the face of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.